So, what did you think of the movie, Mr. Alexander?
Oh, the cinematography. Incredible. Breathtaking. The movie itself was full of curious trademark themes and wonderful characteristic compositions.
And
the payoffs and character arcs were nothing short of masterful storytelling. How about you, Sergei?
For a kid's film, I thought the animals were fun.
Enjoy more time together with 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Meerkat Movies with the Meerkat app. When you buy, so compare the market.
Qualifying purchase. Chooses Wednesdays only. Participating cinemas. T's and C's apply.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-till-7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4-till-7 thing podcast. I'm Johnny Vaughan. My team are here. Dr. Cilla Templeton.
Hi.
No, Simon.
Sorry.
You, when have you ever been first?
God, he's gone wild these days.
Get at him, gang.
When Stop
have you
it,
ever
Simon.
Been first? Ever.
How
Stop
very
it.
Dare you.
How right. dare you.
The boy is wild.
He's gone wild, the boy. I wish, you know what I wish I had now? A tall hat, a cape, and a doctor's bag.
Yes. To administer yes, discipline.
Just, I don't know why. I just feel a lot more commanding.
One of those big metal syringes with two
yes,
finger
yes.
holes.
With mercury in it.
Yes.
To cure some ague.
Some kind of lead.
That later will
lead syllabub.
Later they will find out that actually exasperates this condition. But at the time it was seen as a cure because everybody died. Okay, here we go. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4-till-7 thing podcast. Hi, Suns.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Gav.
Hi, John.
Hi, Big Si. No one else here, is there?
No.
Right. All right. Hi, little Si.
Hello.
Oh, God. This week, the countdown to Christmas truly begins as we open the first doors on the wondrous, strange human advent calendar. We also discover why my pet bulldog looks like Dogzilla. And we salute a sporting hero tossing balls in Gav's heroic little sack.
Mm. What?
Slot.
Slots.
Enjoy.
That's sack with a K.
Sack, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's just what I said.
Radio X.
So, yeah, quite a disappointing weekend. Sunta, let's start with you, because yours wasn't. Mine was. You went to Secret Cinema.
Yes, Stranger Things.
And it was a Stranger Things theme.
Yes.
Is that right? Have I got the right language?
Yeah.
A theme.
It was amazing. I can't say too much because, obviously, you don't want to spoil it for anyone. It's on until February, so there's still loads of time to go. You should go. So good.
But Big Si gave you like a whole guide to things.
Well, he gave me a few tips because it's a big immersive theatre production.
You can never fully prepare.
You can
for
never
that.
Like. There's so much going on, and you don't want to miss anything really good because you'd be really sad if you go, "Wasn't that good?" And someone went, "Oh yeah, did you do that thing?" And you're like,
No, what
no,
thing? What sort
thing.
Of... look, Gav and I have got no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I can't. I don't want to do it on air because at the
spoilers.
Point of Secret Cinema, it's spoilers. You can't.
What?
People don't want to know.
You're like masons.
I know, it's very
Christ alive.
There's hand signals and everything. You
really?
Don't even know. It's a
wow.
whole world. It is brilliant though. And if you like Stranger Things, which I know you do,
I love
really
Stranger Things.
I
really enjoyed Stranger Things. I really did. And I didn't find any of them got annoying towards the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Gav, how was your weekend?
It was brilliant.
It was really good. Right.
Right. Right.
No, because you know, because that can happen.
That's right, yeah. It was brilliant. Friday, I watched The Irishman, and then...
Which is so bad.
And then on Saturday, I watched The Irishman, and then yesterday, I watched The Irishman.
Yeah, because it goes on that long.
It's quite long, isn't it?
Really long.
Yeah.
3.5 hours.
Well, it's literally, it's just like when they say live story, you don't think it's going to be actual time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is. It's done in real time.
Real time,
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I find it weird that people are upset by that, because you can easily sit there and watch 5 hours binging a box.
No, it's fine.
Feel
no,
like
it's true.
The
no.
thing.
Well, I just did. I just chose to watch bits of it.
It's fine, but it's just there is nothing remotely charming about his character at all in it.
No,
you
just hardly speak.
No, you fail to see why everyone loves the guy. Why? He's just keep. Well, no, he doesn't want to move his head because then they can't paint the young face.
Oh,
on
I see. Yeah, yeah.
But you got like Harvey Keitel. He's like 80.
Mm.
Joe Pesci looks about 90. Well, he's brilliant in it though.
He is brilliant. Yeah.
Al Pacino, who literally you think they're just giving you motive to kill Hoffa.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I'm not kidding. That's how good an actor is. I was just sitting there thinking, just kill him. Just kill him soon. And preferably an hour before the end, so we can perhaps get another plot going.
He's more annoying than Maury in Goodfellas.
No.
Do you know, Maury really pushes his luck, doesn't
no,
he?
No, but,
in Goodfellas.
But Maury, he just wants his money.
You yeah, can, I know, whatever. He's really understand. In their faces about
no,
it.
No, but he wants his money. It was his tip-off
yeah.
for the whole heist.
I know.
We wouldn't have got the 20 million if it wasn't for Maury. I think that's really heartless of you.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
How anyway, was your weekend?
So I'll tell you about it in a... Oh, I've run out of time now.
Okay.
I honestly, it was so miserable.
Why?
Because I just had a really bad Saturday. I got to...
I went to see Chelsea,
Yeah.
And on the way to the... For a start, I like to have a couple of pints before the game just to get me in the mood.
Yep.
I had a cab driver, sorry, like an Uber guy, who decided he wasn't going to use Waze or Google.
It's just gonna
he had TomTom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I didn't
I thought
know it
they
was.
Turned that off. No,
but I think they can clear it up these days.
No, but he had an old one or some old thing.
Right. Yeah.
And I was thinking, I mean, you just sort of trust. They're going to, because they, you just trust.
Yeah.
But I just, I thought, you must know you don't go down Latchmere Road on a Saturday.
You must know that.
Sure. There's a leisure centre there for a start.
Imagine if he'd pulled an A to Z out.
No, it was, Gav, honestly, I'd have preferred it to this.
Yeah.
This, he had like a traffic finder. And and so that was miserable. Then I got to the game, so I was late, sober.
Yeah.
And you could just see their West Ham, their mob was just much more up for it. They just really
and
were.
And you sensed it.
You know, and they were just singing down the street and there's no one there singing anything back or nothing. There's nothing.
Mm.
And then I got in the ground, I went with my mate Bertie and I was just about to get a Guinness for him. I was just waiting to see if he wanted Guinness or a beer before a game. I thought we'd get one in. I got to the front of the queue. I was going, yeah, one Guinness. Hang on, I was just waiting for Bertie to come out the cars. He'd be behind me. I was going, and the guy, I said, yeah, make that two. He goes, I can't now.
What, in between the first
in between
drink and the
Gino,
second drink?
Gino one and two.
He said, not
I said, well, can I have the first one? He says, no, that's a total order. I said, but I ordered before. He goes, yeah, but you finished the order after.
Retrospective ban.
Whoa.
So I said, all right, then get me a Coke, fat Coke, please. And he goes, we don't sell fat Coke anymore.
Oh, my
oh,
God.
No.
Did you win,
I'm
though?
Like, how much is that? I said, pulling out a fiver. He says, no cash.
Radio X.
I need a ripple for the Whipple. Because what the Whipple has done today in a section of the show that is it's kind of wildlife news.
Mm.
It could be just one news singular because I might only do one story here. But this is the best. He's the science editor in the Times.
Mm.
And when I've read his opening paragraph of today's, he's got lots of columns. He's got quite a lot in today. He's got two items on page three.
Wow.
Page three of the Times, that is.
All right, okay.
Oh, there's always two items on page three. Shut up. Go back to the 80s. It's the best opening paragraph he's ever delivered, and he's delivered some really good ones. And I know he's showboating.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Is this just for us?
He's always got a strong opener, isn't he?
No, but he's got a... This is almost too strong. I need almost a drum roll, little Simon. What, were you going for like a wildlife effect?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I get that. Maybe while we're just maybe during the drum roll, if you do the 30 seconds one, you can actually find a nature. Okay, if you put the 30 second one on, okay, do it again then. Go on, this is really good, it's worth it.
Mm. Go on,
go on. Not the 30, ladies and gentlemen. Who needs massive testicles when you have a splendid outfit and you're really good at dancing?
Wow,
that's how
great
it
opening.
It's bold.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Peace out. Yeah. Wow.
But I really need to know what the next line is.
It's never done me any good. That seems to be the... So, there's the opening statement. Who needs massive... Mm-hmm, when you have a splendid outfit and you're really good at dancing.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
That seems to be the evolutionary calculation made by the world's birds after a study has shown that they experienced... rapidly shrinking testes. The thing is, if birds did have them,
yeah,
it would look obscene
and not aerodynamic
as they swooped in. No, I was joking with a friend of mine who's a comedian, John Fothergill, and I was saying, what is a Fothergill? And he was saying it's a type of seabird.
Right.
Well, we were just joking about it. Yeah. And then I said, imagine, but it's a seabird with enormous testes.
Yeah.
And just how obscene that would be at the...
It's just not practical.
No, it wouldn't.
It's not a flight thing.
No, it's not a flight thing.
No, but also for swooping on hot chips.
Again.
No, if you were a seabird.
Or a baked potato,
yeah,
for example.
Or baked potatoes. They never cool down.
That's like a volcano for a swooping seagull.
They've got like half-life, like nuclear stuff. Seriously.
Potatoes. Seagulls warning each other about spudgy-like.
Yeah, don't go. Yeah.
Don't go near there.
Stay away. Is that how seagulls say?
That's how they warn each other.
Go on, do it again. Just like, okay, that's nice.
They're just like white crows.
Maybe
they?
Maybe we'll put that on the podcast. People can record that and play that at the seaside.
Exactly.
To repel them.
Yeah. Pub gardens should use it.
Yeah. Anyway, Joanna Baker from Reading University I was going to say she's got nothing better to do with her time, but frankly, it's quite a worthy study. Said that she conducted the study, reported in the Journal of What dreams she must have had during the research period. She reported in the Journal of Ecology Letters. I don't know if you've read that.
Not recently.
To investigate evolutionary trade-offs. In isolation, large testicles are generally a good thing.
She qualifies that with generally. But not in birds.
In isolation.
Not in aerodynamic birds.
No. Well,
yeah. It was certainly something the Bee Gees always used to try and sell. Anyway, all animals. No, it was a notion. It was a notion they went with.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
With a sort of, you want to see our dad kind of pride. But anyway, all animals could benefit from having larger ones. Mm-hmm. Because it increases, obviously, you know, reproduction and stuff. Yep. However, testicles are costly to keep stocked. This is why typically monogamous species economise and have smaller ones.
Right.
So it's also because they mate for life-ish.
I don't know what on earth she's on about.
I don't know.
I never thought I'd get this far. I thought Big Si would have done the finger across the throat gesture a long time ago.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Today's the 2nd of December, but the countdown to Christmas hasn't truly begun without... Oh, you're really across... Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear.
Every year. No, so I'm not... Do you know something? Okay, how do I turn it on?
This one.
Okay. Is it on now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm doing... This is now my response. We don't turn it on till we start. That's okay. It. Okay, here we go. We had this last year, and either we've got to develop some sort of signal.
Sorry.
Okay. But the countdown to Christmas hasn't truly begun without... Now. Oh, Christ, Simon. Okay. But the countdown to Christmas hasn't truly begun without... Now. Is that...
Yeah.
Okay. The wondrous, strange, phantasmagorical, indubitably sequential, numeric human advent calendar. It's not just any old advent calendar, ladies and gentlemen. It's a calendar made of man and woman and humans.
A calendar.
It's a calendar.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Mm.
I hate that, to be fair. When did I start doing that?
If you will.
We always say, if you will.
Yeah.
It's a human advent calendar, if you will. I thought a good name is for that as well. If you actually use that expression a lot and your surname was Williams. What? If you will. I sure will, Mr. Williams. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
You are the treat behind the door. If you've not heard it before, here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is what to expect.
The wondrous, strange, phantasmagorical, indubitably sequential, numerica, human advent calendar.
Let's see what's behind door number one.
I'm a snowman stubble.
Door number two.
A stormtrooper in stilettos.
Hey. Door number three.
I'm a really cheap set of fairy lights, limply draped over a bay window in Kidderminster.
It's not just any old advent calendar, guys. It's a human advent calendar.
A calendar made of mind.
What's it going to be?
I am Long John Silver's spare false leg, locked in a cupboard and forgotten about.
Tailored from the imagination, cut from the cloth of dreams.
A Christmas traffic warden that enjoys working on Christmas.
Hooray!
Gav, it gets pretty phantasmagorical, right? Indubitably.
I'm Theresa May's dance choreographer. I'm an overworked, peed-off parcel delivery driver.
Hey! I'm Kirsty, being crafty in the Christmas cardy.
I'm an alopecia-stricken squirrel.
Roll up to see the awesome squirrel boy. Behold his nostrils, how they twitch.
Grief.
There we go.
Forgot about squirrel boy.
I forgot about squirrel boy. It's fantastic.
Wonderful.
An alopecia stricken squirrel.
Fantastic, isn't it? It's very simple. Here's the deal. If you want to join in, if you want to be part of, say, next year's montage.
It's a way to sell it.
You know,
that's what it's all about.
It means you're going down in history. I mean, those people there. draped over a bay window in Kidderminster. Fantastic, right? It's just good work, all of us.
It's great.
It's great. So, very simple. If your phone number ends in that day's date, you can be behind the door. If your phone number ends in a 3, you qualify for tomorrow's. You can be anything. From an overpriced mince pie to a giant blow-up bauble, the more wondrous strange!
Felt like that. There,
yeah, yeah, I think so, yeah. That'll just lift it a bit.
Would have been good there, yeah.
The more wondrous strange, the better. The better. Register now at radiox.co.uk. Tell us your number and what you'd like to be behind the door. And you could be a treat for us in the run-up to Christmas. Please head to radiox.co.uk to register right now. You've got to get into it. You've got to get involved. Big Si wants this to be a slicker year than last year. We did it very much on the hoof this year. Plenty of warning. Yeah. No chance of anyone saying anything silly on the day.
Keep it together. Keep it together.
Keep it together. Keep it together.
Millions of people are missing out by having a current account that doesn't pay them any interest on their hard-earned money. TSB offers interest to all their Plus account customers for no monthly fee. Plus, you can stop your friends and family missing out by recommending the Plus account to them. And when they switch, you'll both earn £75. Search online or visit your local branch. Terms and conditions apply.
Radio X.
Anyone who's seen The Irishman, anyone who's laughed their head off at it,
yeah,
it's so funny because the effects in it everyone's been going about are so bad.
It is weird, isn't it?
I heard that because they have to make them look young, and
yes,
they're clearly not young.
No, at one point, De Niro suddenly in one scene, he's got purple eyes.
Right.
And suddenly I'm thinking, what's that got to do with anything?
And I'm guessing he still moves like an old
no,
man.
No.
That's the kind of giveaway.
The point
is
they daren't move their face because that's going to make it their heads, because that'll make it harder for the effects people.
Sure.
To do their job, yeah.
They may as well just have animated it and got Disney to do it, frankly.
Yeah.
It's shocking. So Scorsese, he goes, I make my films for the big screen, not for a phone screen. Shall I tell you something? The Irishman better on the radio.
Think as a radio play.
It's appalling. Honestly, let me tell you something about this, right?
Hang on. Can I just say I haven't seen it yet, so please don't spoil it.
Well, good. Do you know what? Then these are 3 hours you'll get back.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Why do you put on a slight rural accent to say that?
I don't know.
I'm gonna watch it.
I am gonna watch it.
I'll have a go.
You can't stop me.
He says it's a staff, it's not.
He says it's rubbish, but I'm not believing him.
He says it's a staffy, it's not. My father's a doorman.
Right. Come on, tell me.
He says it's a pit bull. It's not a staffy.
I'm watching it.
Okay, sorry. Days after his 3.5-hour gangster epic, The Irishman. Let's say something about it as well.
Mm.
No, I mean, the only good thing is I think everyone watching wants to kill Pacino.
Don't spoil it.
No, I'm just saying, when he plays Jimmy Hoffa, you know the end game there.
Well, yeah,
it's not really any surprise,
trailer,
is it?
Yeah,
but did you watch The Crown and tell people to shh, he might live about George VI? What'd you do? I hope this Edward VIII guy hangs in there. I mean, I'm going to break it, your sense.
Okay.
I just wish they'd done it sort of after about an hour.
I understand it's quite long, but don't you just watch it like you watch a boxer?
No, it's just dreadful. And the idea, I mean, the funniest thing is when Joe Pesci, who's about 104, who's actually brilliant in it.
He's brilliant in it,
And he's really badly made. Okay, I'll tell you something. You may as well cast Liam Neeson as Harry Potter and film the whole lot again.
I'm not sure. Just get Harry some Potter. Younger actors to play them as the younger...
Right. I'm Harry Potter. I've got a particular set of magic skills.
That's weird.
No, but seriously, they might have done May's voice. I've got a particular set of skills.
I love to play Quidditch.
Yeah, exactly right.
Game
and then,
on.
And then got, who's the other guy? Brendan Gleeson to play Ron Weasley or whatever. Meryl Streep as Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
And just sort of down-age them just for a laugh.
Right.
Because this is crap.
So this is your problem with it, is it?
No, it's just Emperor's New Clothes. I'm not kidding. It really is. Anyone going, oh, it's wonderful. It's not. Just, why not? While they're filming it, they should have just said, okay, just in case, guys, we're also going to film each scene while we're set up with just a young cast doing exactly the same lines.
Yeah.
There's a point when Robert De Niro gives someone kicking.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. You know when you see someone, a pensioner, barely unable to get off a coach?
It's like a granddad trying to get out of a chair.
It really is. It really is. It's not what I'll keep me right. Shooing, I tell you that. And then in the end, he steps on his end.
Do you think it's because they're all of the similar age, including Scorsese. That yeah. They're kind of like, yeah, we
can
still
do this.
Yeah,
I know. We can do this, bro.
Marty Scorsese talks really fast.
He does.
The thing with Marty, when you're working with him, he talks about something. The point about it is this film is dreadful.
Oh,
and they well no because you've got a scene where Joe Pesci 103 greets De Niro's 94 and he goes what's the problem kid, he calls him kid just to I'm thinking is he taking the Mickey, it's to what's the problem kid, what's that sir. It's. I'm not kidding. De Niro occasionally you see pensioners getting off a coach and they do that sort of really bow-legged walk because they've got prostate problems. That's what he's doing in it.
Yeah.
Sure.
That same sort of walk, like when an old footballer comes back to Chelsea from the
lots of elbow movements.
Lots of elbow movements when he's going.
like when Bill Clinton used to go jogging. It's all upper arm and.
No,
body
but it's also
movement.
It sounds like walking like Mr. Ben.
Yeah.
You know that really busy arms. Or like Shag and Scoob.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gives his bloke a kicking, and when he stamps on the guy's hand, you're more worried about De Niro hurting his leg.
Yeah, doing his ankle in.
Yeah. I've hurt my ankle buckled when I stamped on that lad's end. Anyway, it's appalling. It really is. I just can't understand why they didn't give a young cast.
Well, it's just
it's like they're really hogging it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like old pros hogging the mic at a wedding.
It wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
No.
I can still belt the hits out. Give that to me.
Yeah.
Don't worry about us. We'll just belt the hits out.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's exactly why footballers get to an age and they say that's that.
Right.
The same thing. You wouldn't put Schultz in goal now.
No.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I see that thief's brought the cannon back.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that?
Oh, well, I saw a headline. I didn't see the full story.
Yep, the theft of a pair of 19th century cannons under cover of darkness 30 years ago.
It's a strong fella.
It was a bit of a mystery in the village of Tilby.
Even if you had two of you, you just couldn't do that. You'd need one of those engine lifts, wouldn't you?
No, it's three of them, did it?
Oh, three.
But anyway,
right, okay.
30 years later, these two cannons went missing as part of a World War One memorial.
Right.
I don't know why they've used that actual sort of Russian like cannon and from a ship, but... the guy's returned. He's felt really bad about it. He's actually written a letter.
He had a twinge of conscience.
Yeah, he said, I appealed to the... He says, his mate who nicked it died.
Right.
And he said that being part of this act has troubled me ever since. Please accept my sincere apologies for my unwitting part in this shameful act. Gav, have you ever done something dishonest which you've always wished you've regretted?
Oh, God. What, today?
Yeah.
Not today, no. I must have when I was a kid.
I have.
What have you done?
I once... when I was a kid at school, me and a mate at break time, we realised that there was going to be an Easter egg hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Because we spotted an egg sticking out in the classroom, in our classroom.
Yeah.
And so during lunch, we nicked the lot.
Did you?
It's the only thing I've ever stolen in my life.
You and one other?
Oh, no, apart from a with compliments pad from a stationer's when I was 11.
Did you turn yourself in?
I was mad about stationery. No, it was awful because we started the... Because it wasn't for our class.
Oh, no.
No, it was for a class. We were thinking, put it on. This is easy, this one. 12 cream eggs, bang. And there were just little cream eggs. And then they had the class with the younger kids.
Oh, no.
And they were looking round. And the head teacher came and said, she said, we had to cut one cream egg into 12 sticky little bits.
Oh, no.
I see. They really so felt really bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you eat them all?
Well, no, but I think they knew because both of us were sick.
Radio X.
The largest gold nugget in Britain ever has been found by a treasure hunter combing a Scottish riverbed. I'm not saying it looks like it's been manufactured.
It doesn't look hewn from nature as much as human, does it?
No, it doesn't, no. It looks like, to me... It looks like someone has seen the decline of Loch Ness and is looking to make a bit of an investment to get the punters back in.
Yeah. Oh, so, look what I found.
Yeah. So gold, what's it up to an ounce? It was like a couple of years ago, it went down to like 1,300, 250.
I always think it's about 1,500, isn't it?
Let's find out what it is. Little sign. You should know this. Remember, the Rothschilds decide the price of gold every morning.
Do they?
Yeah. That's it.
That's unbelievable.
Yes. They get together. So what is it at the moment? That's in dollars. What's that in pounds?
Oh, okay.
So he's saying $1,478. But yeah, they get together and they fix the price for it.
Right.
That's how much power.
On that day.
It's what I'd
for
love
that day, yeah.
I love that. So it's now £1,128.
Right.
Which, actually, to pull an ounce out of the ground, if you're just, you know, using however many tons of soil that way,
yeah,
it costs you about £1,800. So you're getting it out a bit of a loss
really
if you're
work,
doing it industrially. Anyway, the largest gold nugget in Britain has been found by a treasure hunter. The man who wished to remain anonymous, let's just call him part of the Scottish tourist industry, discovered the 22-carat lump using a method called sniping. So you wear a mask and a snorkel and a dry suit.
Right.
And the hand tools, and then you go along shallow water, and then you place it there, ready,
ready for someone to find it later.
Then you say to your mate, now, before someone else finds it, and that's really the technique. And then you make sure you've bought a long stretch of river that people can then buy.
I'm sensing a great reality TV show here.
I am
of
as well.
Of people just panning, not doing it industrially, just people having a go with a pan.
Yeah. Have you ever panned for gold?
No, is it exciting?
No, I haven't done it. I've got a pan at home, though.
Have you?
Yeah, I sent it by History Channel when they started another of their sort of...
Yeah. Gold rush.
Rubbish gold hunters who come back with like a little tiny beaker full of it. With this, we need our whole season's ruined. We've spent about, we must have spent $22,000, Anyway, Gav, it was found in two pieces that fit together perfectly. Isn't that nice?
That's lucky.
Isn't that lucky? Yeah, they fit together perfectly. They're two pieces like that. Anyway, it's been called the reunion nugget. He says this is now the largest nugget in existence in the UK. It's donut shaped. They should have called it the Greg nugget. Greg's.
Oh, it's Scottish. It should be the McNugget.
The McNugget.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Radio X.
Sunta's just off to do the news on gold.
Yeah.
Whenever she leaves here, she looks like she's just going on stage somewhere to do the encore.
She does.
Every single day of the week, the woman furnished with a hero. Today, absolutely no exception.
Okay, the hero today, Johnny, is William Billy Gunn.
Wow.
He was born in 1858 and he lived till 1921. He was born today in St. Anne's in Nottingham. At 6 foot two
it's
and a half.
It's quite a bad area, St. Anne's.
Is it? So at 6 foot two and a half, he was a specialist right-hand batsman who occasionally bowled, and get this, slow underarm lobs.
Yeah, you're allowed to bowl underarm.
You were, yeah, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
So famous for his fielding. He was very good fielding at long boundary positions because he had a brilliant throw. He played professionally for Nottinghamshire from 1880 to 1904.
It's a lovely ground, Trump.
He also played 11 times for England in test matches. He got one century for England in that time. He got 48 centuries for Nottingham. And his top score was 273. So he was a really decent cricketer. He even took a 10-wicket haul with that underarm bowling in
Did
one
he?
Match. Yeah. In a county game. Wisben described...
You wouldn't be intimidated, though, going on.
No, you wouldn't,
What he must have done is just put a hell of a lot of spin. Like
some kind of guise
on
it,
you toss one of those power balls.
Yeah,
and you sort of move it 2 yards.
Like
go,
that, yeah.
Fang.
Hoik it with the fingers.
Fang it, yeah. Really, you must have been like that. Like
yeah, he must have, yeah. Tricky.
Yeah, tricky.
So Wisden described him as, said about him, no batsman of the same height has ever played in a more elegant and perfect form.
Nice.
Anyway, while he was doing this... in 1885...
It's good, Gav, but I'm looking for something irrelevant.
No, that's right. So in 1885, he also, along with a local businessman, Mr. Thomas Moore, started a cricket bat company called Gunn and Moore.
Gotcha.
Which is still a massive business today.
It is, and if you go to Red, Main and Todd, which is used to be a big sports shop in Nottingham, 83936, if it's still there, that's where the big Gunn and Moore selection was. And it's.
I loved Gunn and Moore bats.
Well, as a kid, I went up there to get a cricket bat.
Did you?
I went to Red to go and get a Gunn and Moore.
That is about as old school a way to purchase a cricket bat.
Because my dad went to a factory there and said, we're going up to Red, Main and Todd.
Right.
Rather abruptly to go and get a cricket bat.
A proper bat.
To go and get a proper bat, like.
Anyway, so if this wasn't enough to keep him busy, he also played, he signed in 1881 for one season to play for Nottingham Forest as a winger who seemed to, quote, cover the full length of the pitch in 3 strides. He was so fast.
So tall.
And tall, yes. He caused a rule change in football. Because he was so good at throwing a cricket ball that he used to do a one-armed throw in football. for a throw-in. Right. So he was described here. He said he could hurl the ball inhuman distances with one hand.
Yes, I bet.
And when his throws, quote, repeatedly hurtled into Scotland's penalty area from well inside England's own half, the FA were forced to change the rules.
How about that?
And formalise the two-handed
It was a real
throw.
Club of innovation, you know, Nottingham Forest. Yeah, it was the first club to actually have a crossbar.
Wow.
As opposed to a bit of string, which was part of the original Uppingham rules of football, to have a string there, which goes before the Cambridge rules. But also, it's the first ever football club to have shin pads.
Oh, really?
So it's the two things. But I didn't know the overhead throw was because of that. So that's
of William Gunn, yes.
Throwing it over the head.
Yep, cricket bat company. Played for England, played for Nottinghamshire, played for Notts County. Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
He also played for Notts County.
Yeah, never could.
England. Never in football. So he played for England, Nottingham Forest, Notts County, Nottinghamshire, and England.
Well, no one has a... Notts County is the oldest football club in the world in terms of continuous history. I know people in Sheffield and wherever will argue, there were a football ground here, but the oldest one that's been caused that, and also never say Notts Forest, I just messed up, I think.
He was so popular at Notts County, they made him a director while he was playing.
Well, they're in trouble now. I think their only fan now is Jake Bugg. Right.
William Billy Gunn.
Johnny Vaughan 4-7, thing why we salute you.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lifeproof, makers of action-ready phone cases designed to let you live full time. Whether it's braving the surf or thriving in the dirt, Lifeproof allows you to live full time. Lifeproof cases protect one of your most valuable tools, your phone. From the waterproof Free, the Agile Next, the Streamline Slam, or the all-new Flip, Lifeproof cases let you do what you do without hesitation. To start living full-time, go to lifeproof.co.uk/lifeproof15 and save 15% on your Lifeproof case.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
The wondrous, strange, phantasmagorical, indubitably sequential, numeric human advent calendar! Let's go to door number 3!
I'm an unwanted nut roast.
What's your name, unwanted nut roast?
I'm Alexa, like the device.
Can I ask you, Alexa, what's it like being called Alexa these days? I mean, have you got an Alexa at home?
I've got two. And kids know my name and mock me instantly and ask what the time is in China.
Do you know, I didn't even hear the build up to that. But just
the punchline made it.
That was one of the that's one of the best things. I mean, we were all tutting because we lost you. Sorry, during that it was just all like that. But then you finished by going, and the kids have asked what the time is in China. It was just
that's was
like,
enough. Yeah.
You know, it's like when people do that thing, and all you hear is, and the vicar says, "That's all right, I got my bike outside." And everyone just we don't know what it means or anything.
I work with teenagers. I'm a secondary teacher, and they all ask me, Alexa. Where is my book? Alexa, what's that? And it just gets on my nerves.
Do you know what? I can't imagine the nightmare of being a teacher with those little clever little... They are vicious. They're not nice, are they?
They can be cruel. They can cut you to the core with two words or a sentence and you're dead on the spot.
Have you got lots of withering put-downs for them? Or are you not allowed to use those anymore?
Not really. I'm really good at a death stare. I'm a very good death stare. And there's no comeback. There's no comeback on it because there's no proof. There's no evidence.
And also... Yeah, there's no law against that.
No marks.
Radio X.
Early visitors to the Galapagos Islands, were amused but unimpressed by the giant tortoises. Have any of you ever actually seen a giant tortoise?
Not in the flesh, no.
Don't lie. You'll remember it if you had.
No, how big counts as giant?
Oh, Christ. It wasn't in your attic unless your parents bought in a pub.
Size of a tank. So
okay, yeah, but the one that your parents bought in probably...
This big?
That's not giant.
No.
That's
a couple of feet across.
I didn't know they did them in that size. I thought it was either or.
They were pretty big. They were in my village. A family had two massive tortoises.
Did they buy them in a pub?
Probably.
Okay. Did they make them into burgers? Okay.
No.
Okay, Shuntz, I've had one of the most awesome experiences with a giant tortoise.
Have you?
Yeah. It was love.
Was it?
No, I tell you what. When General Gordon of cartoon fame, he wanted to retire. That's it. Mm. So he was travelling back. He stopped at the Seychelles with his giant tortoise.
Mm.
Right. He dropped it off there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Because he was called to cartoon where, of course, he died and stuff.
Right.
I think. I'm not just making his.
That's thing. Roughly what happened, yeah.
Yeah, it's roughly what happened. But anyway, I have touched that actual tortoise.
How and it was know? Alive.
It's still alive because they've marked it. It's been on this in this hotel I went to. Really modern's casino.
When
really?
Did they mark it?
No, it's in the Seychelles. It's in the Seychelles.
When did they mark it?
I don't know, years back, but it is the one. It's really old tortoise.
Really the one?
It's really the same one,
how
yeah.
How old is it?
It's about 150 or something.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
wow.
weird because it wasn't there then.
Yeah,
is it moving? Is it moving a bit more sprightly than Robert De Niro in The Irishman?
But thing is, yeah, no, it's still much more lively. In fact, they should have cast it with tortoises. There's one there who looked younger than Harvey Keitel, definitely
moving like a young fawn. Compared,
but it's like, if they use Joe Pesci in that tortoise place, they'd say it's unrealistic.
Yeah,
they can't be that old.
So you've seen the actual tortoise? That's
yeah,
amazing.
I certainly have. Anyway. Early visitors, I just wanted to make it a bit more about me.
Sure.
Early visitors to the Galapagos were amused but unimpressed by the giant tortoises. They considered the lumbering beast to be living rocks that roamed aimlessly and pointlessly, and whose main redeeming quality was their tastiness when fried. Sounds about right. But now a study has suggested a lot more was going on in the minds of these sluggish animals, writes Tom Whipple. Who could not only be trained to perform tasks, but also remember their training unprompted.
What?
A decade later. So
whoa.
But what trained tortoise? Like,
I know, but as soon as you go and fetch, you'll be dead by the time it gets back. Certainly. Certainly. You will.
What's the point then?
What's the point? You say, go get a paper. And it gets back.
For next year. Is that what the sound they make?
Yeah, no, I just made it up.
Okay.
It's very hard to improvise things sometimes, but that was an improvised tortoise.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
If there's two things we thought we knew on the show, I'm afraid that's just gone down to one. Mm. We know there's no such thing as a Cockney doctor. What seat's been a problem, sir?
Have a seat, son.
Have a seat. Sit down. Grab a pew.
Hello, son.
Grab a pew. Right. Heard you was having problems with your jazzies.
Aortic infarction, I reckon.
Yeah, right. I'm prescribing you phenodihydrochloride, Benzorex. Fill your boots, son. Anyway, we know there's no such thing as a Cockney doctor. But we thought we had fact two. There's no such thing as a vegan golfer. Great harmony, Gareth. Really good. But
I nailed it.
Let's just do it once more. And my note is,
yeah.
There's no such thing as a vegan golfer. Oh, man. What fun Chaz and Dave must have had.
I think we're going to actually have to do a version
anyway,
of that song.
The point is, Paula has texted me and said, I'm a vegan woman golfer. They hate me at the golf club. So, so that's taken out verse two, Gaff. A3936, anything that scans into, there's no such thing as a Cockney doctor, yeah. We might pick.
What else is there no such thing
just
as?
Just please yet? Start your text. There's no such thing as a, but it must have Cockney doc. We're looking for two-syllable
words.
Two-syllable words. Thank you so much for all your wonderful No Such Thing As A Cockney Doctors. Gav's going to work on the song. There's no such thing as the Loch Ness Monster. That's Ray.
Ray is right as well.
Ray's absolutely right. And also, look below Ray's, Gav. Gav, you got that
one? Yeah.
Which is, there's no such thing as a simple flat pack. There is no such thing as a simple flat pack. There really isn't. In fact, I don't think there's much simplicity in the world anymore, Gav.
I think Liam does win with the no such thing as a full price sofa, though.
There is no such thing as a full price
ever,
sofa.
Ever. Just doesn't happen.
Okay, what I want is, who goes to like DFS out of sale time?
Well, my theory is that the sale time is about 4 minutes long. And it's in a branch on the top of a mountain somewhere.
No, Gav, it's
not. And
it's
just to fulfil contractual obligations to say it was that price at some point.
Yeah.
In some place.
No, Gav, you go to these places. There's a bedding centre near me.
Yeah.
And they've got pre-season sale, after-season sale, sale, pre-sale,
never
sale.
Not a sale.
Never,
after
ever.
Sale. Never not a
but
sale.
But don't they, by law, have to have advertised that price somewhere?
Yes,
for
but
some
they
time.
Put it next to it with a line through it.
No, I know that, but
yeah,
imagine being the only guy that bought it full price.
I know, no, that Gav, that guy's me. Yeah. It really is.
Radio X.
Guys, this is what I don't like.
What?
Well, you know I've got a beef with pets at home.
Yeah.
They got my dog on to those frozen chunks of food rather than dried food, which he'd started with.
So now feeding him is a bit of an arrangement.
No, it just rots the teeth. It just really does. It gets in between the teeth and rots it. There's no doubt about it. It gives him terrible breath. I've now had to have two of his teeth removed, and it's down to being pushed onto these things. And you sort of think that's got to be better because they're these nice frozen things. Yeah. But it's not.
It's not helping, no.
It's not, because there's one thing your pet needs really in life is just regularity. Don't mix it up. Don't ever feed them snacks. No off-the-ball stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe the little reward for actually doing something, but really after a while, just a nice stroke from the master. Stroke mistress.
Yes.
Which is odd.
Is reward enough?
A stroke.
From the master.
Master stroke mistress strokes.
Wow.
That should be enough. Just a... if I fuzzle, if I give Jeff, my bulldog, a good fuzzle wuzzling, he's fine.
You never give little Sire fuzzle, was it?
No, because you have to bring him right. I bring him right up, and he's got this little hairy bit just below his big bottom lip. So I go, and I rub it with my chin, and I go, "He's a fuzzle wuzzle," because he's a fuzzle wuzzle fuzzle wuzzler. And who's daddy's fuzzle wuzzle fuzzle wuzzle fuzzle wuzzle boy?
And he understands what's going on.
He knows he's been fuzzle. He knows he's been fuzzle wuzzle.
Sure.
But it has to be very good to get a fuzzle wuzzling.
Right.
Otherwise, he's
just a head pat.
Yeah, but if he's really good, he fuzzle wuzzles. And he knows. He knows the difference. Because before he gets a fuzzle wuzzling, I announce it, and somebody's going to get a fuzzle wuzzling.
Wow.
And then he knows it's fuzzle wuzzle time.
Okay.
And he's pretty excited.
He does the Jeff dance. He goes from foot to foot. He sort of bounces like that. And
fuzzle wuzzle.
Because he knows what it's. As opposed to that's just general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things we used to do with Jeff for a real treat, I used to take him down to Pets at Home to look at, you know, because for him it's like Harrods.
Sure.
Like Harrods toy department or Hamleys.
All the departments.
But after a while, he just started pulling so hard at the lead to get to the interactive pet section where effectively he could just scare the bejesus out of rabbits.
And guinea pigs and such. I suppose it looks a bit like a supermarket for him, even with the live prey.
No, for him, the guinea pigs. I mean, they're just like, they just look like, for them, it's like we've met King Kong when they see Jeffrey. He is like a large guinea pig.
He is.
They look at him and they're just like, Christ alive, are we going to get this pig?
Dogzilla.
Wow. Yeah, he is Dogzilla. Oh, clap it in, because that. Do you know what? I almost think, can we come out of this item now? I think we can. Let's just leave it.
Done.
I'm not gonna do anything as good as that.
Oh.
But let me just say, in Pets at Home, turns out the guinea pigs, yes, they are traumatised. So there you go.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Radio X.
As a yachtsman,
yes,
I'm slightly cynical about some of the sponsorship of yachts.
Right.
Well, I mean, Formula One, you go round and round a track, but you wondered how much crowd they're getting in the Southern Ocean.
That's a good point, yeah, because not a large TV audience watching either.
No, there
isn't.
No. In fact, Gav, I would say tiny.
Yeah. But it is, but when they're at a regatta, that's a wealthy crowd.
That's
true. Yeah, it is a wealthy crowd. I get all that. Sure. But if I see Land Rover on a yacht, say.
Yeah.
Okay. No, in fact, that's a good one. That would make me do it.
Yeah.
But like, is the Prada crowd really? I mean, Prada. No, but you just don't seem to see fashionistas round the quay in Weymouth, do you?
That's
in
a fact, good point, yeah.
Seaside towns are very rarely for fashionistas. They really aren't. I mean, like, Weymouth. You're not thinking Prada.
No.
You know, I just look at them, they're not going to think, oh, he might go and get himself some Prada.
The devil wears slacks.
The devil wears Primark. Anyway, sometimes, though, they have companies that sponsor yachting. And as a yachtsman, I see this.
Sure.
Stop sure. I do yacht. Right?
Sure.
This sort of straight back in. Sons of straight back in with another shot.
He's always having a yacht off.
Isn't he? You can never find him on dry land of a weekend.
Never. No,
you can't, actually. You can't.
No, you can tell.
Just shut up. Okay. It's because sometimes you just don't know what they are. The sponsor things. Like, it'll be sort of, I don't know, Lynch.
Yeah, or Unix Steel.
Yeah.
Or like
that's Steel, though. This one's Imarsat.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Satellites or
you
something.
You must know that that's the it's British satellite communications provider.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, but I just don't get what. So if I see that, I've now got a bias. What, a satellite?
I think it's because if the next time you see the foreign trade minister, you get to say, well done on that contract with Imarsat.
Yes.
That's how it works.
Right, yeah, okay,
as a punter watching
you.
The sailing.
But things like, I don't know, just some of the things on them, I'm just thinking, well, who's this benefiting? And you're right. I guess you've only got impressed like five people. But if you are those five people who are involved in yachting, like Ted Turner.
Yeah.
Like he does the 14 meter class.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know.
He could. I've no idea what he's talking about now.
Are we talking 12, America's
maybe
Cup?
Maybe 12
really
meters.
Lost 12, right.
12 meters, 12
I'm
meters. No, no, it doesn't.
Are we talking asymmetrics?
No,
here,
no,
we...
no, no, no. Right. It doesn't mean the yacht measures.
Oh, what is it?
12 meters in the 12 meter class. And it doesn't mean a 10, if you hear the 10 meter class, it doesn't mean that at all.
Oh, what does it mean?
It means you divide something like the length of the boat and then you multiply that by the sail area and then sort of divide it by the distance between the. Then you take the girth of the boat, the distance between the waterline and the handrail.
He's totally making.
I'm not making it. I'm not making it. No, no. This is the challenge for yacht makers. They have to make all those that fraction add up to 12.
12, right?
Yeah, those factors. It doesn't mean it's 12 meters. It means once you put all those factors in, it gives you 12
to keep the rules competitive for everyone.
Because, for the sake of, I think 12 meter yachts, they do all look identical. Is how they've done it.
Right,
they're just identical.
Yeah,
and they measure 12 meters. But anyway, the point is,
it just so happens they're also 12 meters.
Yeah,
long.
But no, that's it. Is something like that. You can look, Gav, look it up.
Okay.
No, because there's a limit to how fast a boat with that much boat in the water can go.
Okay, right. There needs to be a certain amount of weight to it as well.
No,
and
placement,
that's probably
yeah.
comes from how high yes, the mast yes. is compared to how...
Well, can I just say, do not freestyle yacht specifications.
It's all ratio-driven,
but she's just freestyling. She's now thinking of mast size.
I'm just trying to guess why it matters.
Basically, you want as big a sail and as little in the water as possible, yeah. but you don't want it to capsize. But you've got to offset that. Because remember, a boat can only go a certain speed if it's that shape. It's right. got that much in the water. It can't go any faster.
There's a limit, yeah.
Yeah, there's a...
And there's a limit to how much I care about this much about boats.
Okay, I'm just saying, when they're in the Southern Ocean and they're fighting like Force 12,
yeah.
you wonder how many Prada fans are out there.
Right.
That's true.
When you see that on a yacht, you sort of think, well, at least hopefully we'll move a few handbags, lads.
And some shoes.
And some shoes, yeah.
Where would we be without you? The butchers, the bakers, the digital future makers. From BLTs to MOTs, you're the companies that keep us all going. So mind your business, Britain. And so will we, with our Insights Hub to help you navigate the year ahead. Because deal or no deal, from Downing Street to the High Street, every business is part of something far, far bigger. Find out how HSBC could help you at business.hsbc.uk/mindyourbusiness.
Radio X.
Anyone who knows the 4-7 thing knows that listening to this show's it's kind of interactive. You're very much part of the show. We look to you for material, for content, for ideas.
Inspiration.
For everything.
Well, a show,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
It's not really our show. So anyway, one of the things that you do, this is a solemn duty. Because without it, it's serious. We have no fixed abode. We're literally
homeless. Yeah.
Yeah. Tramps.
Yeah.
Tramps.
We were born to run, but not like that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. You're exactly right, Gav. Born to be wild. Right.
That's right.
Like true nature's child. Is it true?
Yeah. Is that
like
what the
a
line
true
is?
nature's child?
I don't think of nature's children being wild.
We were born to be wild. Sorry, I didn't mean to take that on you. That's my voice I do when I'm working out lyrics.
Going through it, yeah.
Do you know, there is that. It's like a sort of doodle voice, isn't it? Or it's like your...
It is.
It's like your, I don't know, your search engine's running. Like a true nature's to its one. We fly so high.
Climb so high, I never want to die.
We never want to die. I love that when you hear a song and you want to... You're trying to remember what it's called, and you're in a car. Go, what's this one called? So you start all singing it really fast.
Yeah.
Because born to be wild, born to be wild, born to be wild, born to be wild, born to be wild.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Guess what they've done?
What?
To scare monkeys off so they don't devour crops.
What?
And stuff like that in India. Do you know what they've done with dogs?
What?
They've painted them up as tigers.
Whoa!
Painted the dogs?
Yeah. Because there's one thing monkeys don't like, tigers. Monkeys, there's one thing monkeys don't care about, dogs.
Yeah, they don't care about dogs.
Don't mind dogs, do mind tigers.
Very much mind.
Tick, yeah. Frustrated at the pests raiding his coffee and areca crop. Areca. It's probably something we're going to get soon in Whole Foods. It's like a superfood that costs millions. It'll just be like a tiny little purple
seedling of some kind.
And then to suck, and now we're going to live forever. That'll be that. But Srikanth Gowda, a farmer in the southern state of Karnataka, believes he's found a solution. He did put soft tiger toys around his field.
Yeah.
That failed. The tigers
apparently didn't work.
Yeah, the monkeys were taking, actually giving them away as prezzies. They liked it. It was funny. And all tigers were taking them off, going, I'm not going to be represented by that. He says, I now take dogs to the fields twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. I've seen the monkeys run away at the sight of the dog resembling a tiger. The monkeys now lay away. They stay away.
That's brilliant. That's genius.
Yeah, that's it. That's
trained tiger.
Yeah. Also, the colour of the tiger toys tends to fade too fast. And, but, I mean, I suppose the plus side of that is it might make the monkeys less frightened of, less scared of tigers.
Yes.
Thinking, well, they're all just soft toys, and then suddenly one of them pushes a bit too far and is reminded exactly why tiger.
Yeah.
I love tigers. Brilliant. Great story for you here. There's a new rover. £5 billion it cost.
Wow.
It's begun its Mars mission in Stevenage.
Wow.
So, scientists have begun work on the most complex treasure hunt ever conceived, a $5.5 billion attempt to bring the first samples of Martian soil to Earth. Now, there are some bits of Martian soil already on Earth. I don't know if you knew this.
No?
From a probe.
No, Gav. But you were like the best kid in class there who the teacher likes to ignore.
From a probe. Just
Woods, please, I'm talking. Is it from a probe, sir? Shut up, Woods. Sorry, sir. Sir, is it from a probe? Shut up. Get out. If you'd ruined it, you'd be out.
Yeah.
If you'd gone, yes, it is. No, it was actually from a meteorite. Bits of Mars that have broken off, somehow been dragged here. I don't know how either, but I read about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, look it up, little Simon, by the end of the thing. Just to stop you concentrating on this. Testing has begun on a rover, which isn't, obviously, they're not using a rover.
No.
That's a car company that was a disaster, went out of business a long time ago. BMW bought them. My dad had three. They were terrible.
Yeah.
Car sick in the back. Yes, the P5 was nice.
The P6 was all right as well.
It was nice, yeah. And the fastback was. It was the first kind of hatchback, except for the Princess. But overall, they would not be sending
a rover.
Yeah, a fleet car. The British fleet car.
Certainly not the Rover Metro.
Although, you know, you do feel that anyone, including NASA, would hanker after their saloon front wheel technology. But let's wave that.
Go on.
Let's just wave that aside and assume NASA aren't after front wheel drive technology.
No. Yeah.
Or a V8 that was bought from Chevrolet in the first place. That's just.
Yeah.
Anyway, testing has begun on a rover, a prototype of which was unveiled yesterday. It's going to collect rock and dust from the planet's surface and return them for analysis. So at the moment they just go up there and it's sort of got a microscope up. We've never actually got anything back.
Right.
Right.
We just had pictures of it.
So they've got a cavernous facility in Stevenage. Now they're doing this because, why?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because, it's, as always, they want to try and find something more expensive than diamonds or something heavier than uranium. There's only two things ever. There's only one reason they ever do anything. Money.
Mineral deposits.
Yeah, money.
Yeah.
It's money. It's money.
Yeah, yeah. They're
it's
not there about, for fun.
As they say, as smart people say in Surrey, it's about money.
Right.
They're not there for... Exactly, yeah. They're not there just to have a laugh, just for fun.
That's right.
It's not funny.
No. No, it's not just fun and games.
It's not fun and games. It's money. In a cavernous facility in Stevenage, researchers working for Airbus have recreated the Martian landscape and are testing an autonomous system that should allow the rover to identify and collect rock fragments that might hold signs of past life.
Wow.
They are using the vast cavernous facility that was used to stage the moon landings back in 1960.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it when I read that.
We know.
A real slip up there, yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. But this signs of life thing.
Mm.
Come on, guys.
It's just an excuse, isn't
Come
it?
On, guys. It's not to do with that.
No.
It's not to do with we're looking for life.
No, it's real estate and cash.
Like I said, the story they're chasing is dinosaurs on Mars. That's what they really want.
That would be their dream.
Because then they
it?
Can get up there and just milk the place. But come on, guys. Let's ruin one planet at a time, shall we? There is life up there. They're probably hiding.
Yep.
Look for dustbin lids like the clangers had. That's my suggestion.
Radio X.
Okay, here's something I want to talk to you about. Daisy Ridley, yeah?
Right.
Now, she's a Star Wars star, but she's the latest actress to insist that taking selfies with fans is intrusive and a security risk. Can I just say, you're in Star Wars.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
You kind of get famous.
Okay, if you don't want that, just get jobs in theatre.
Yeah, then no one will know who you are.
No, if you just love acting, and yeah, that's it, and you just want it for that, and it wasn't all about money and fame, work in a theatre.
That's it.
But when you said, I want to be in Star Wars, yes, I'll take that part.
Yeah.
And then you gave all the sort of rubbish about what attracted me to the part and started talking about that, like I've seen people do when they're playing Marvel hero, what attracted me to the part.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you exactly what it is, money. His financial security and lots of fame.
Fun, travel, money.
Yes, money. Right. Yeah. But when you chose a part in Star Wars, that's saying bring it on.
Yeah, you're not sitting at home writing poems or anything. Yeah.
Okay. And also, when the Star Wars ride is over, and you won't get work outside it, no one does.
Yep. Even though your fee will have gone straight up.
You won't. Just look at Mark Hamill, because that's how it's going to play out. Unless you called him for a special one. But let me tell you, if you made your name with Star Wars, you keep your name with Star Wars. It's the way it is. It's the Star Wars law. That's the way it is.
It kind of is. Apart from Ford. Maybe Harrison.
What, you don't count Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Well, he did that after Star Wars.
Yeah, but he'd already been in American Graffiti.
That's true.
Done a couple of other
that
little
is
things.
True,
and he also
yeah
had The Witness bubbling under. Remember,
yeah,
for
yeah
a while, Harrison Ford had more films in the all-time top 10
wow
than, of highest grossing films of all time than any other actor.
Yeah.
In history.
He's bank, isn't
he? Yeah, Witness in there as well. That
green light a movie just by saying yes himself.
Yes, right. Yeah. So let's not even start talking about Harrison. That's the exception, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to talk to you about Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher. I'm just saying to you, right? So, I wonder if Daisy Ridley would still be telling us this, you know, when maybe she's turning up at conventions
and probably a little bit
cross that no one is asking for selfies.
That's right, or not getting recognised. Or
not
even
getting
worse
recognised. Hey,
yeah.
Anyway, she says, the star who reprised her role as Rey in the forthcoming Star Wars film, The Rise of Skywalker, said she would pose only for children. That's the error. They're the dangerous ones.
Plus, they don't have the wallet.
Yeah.
They're not going to be buying tickets to your movies.
They haven't even got the folding, the cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese.
The corn.
Cheese. Because they're less likely to post the image immediately on social media sites. Mm. What do you think they're going to do? They love you, Daisy. Yeah. They love the films. And it's the biggest moment of their lives. It's wicked to presume that these people are all security risks. They are.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't presume that. That's why you got involved with the whole thing. Me, I wouldn't go near a Star Wars fan ever. Yeah. I'd turn it down now if I was offered the role.
You would, wouldn't you?
I've turned them down, Gaff.
Oh, you have several times.
I've turned
times
down three parts.
I saw you turn Bond down.
I wouldn't even go inside the droid. You know? The droid.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
We're ready for this, guys.
Yeah.
So two psychotic thugs spent 30 minutes literally being nasty to commuters. I'm not going to get into this too much. Anyway, they've arrived at a station and they've just kept the doors locked
what
until some backup can arrive with the passengers in there.
Wow.
Oh.
Yes, and these two guys are evidently, they anyone who tried to confront them got punched. They tried smashing them. Anyway, so people are saying they're absolutely terrified. But these two guys, they're exactly what they need in the jungle. No, never mind. Two men like that. Maybe from one of those SAS shows, like that mate of Gordon's.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That suddenly say, right, we'll change the rules a bit this year. Instead of just like some sort of thing, ooh, that's scary.
It's not
we've
insects
got two former guys from the regiment and they're lurking
lock
out.
You on a train carriage with them.
I'm not going to lower a train carriage. Suddenly, what, into the camp clearing?
Now so, we're talking drama.
Or just the container from a lorry.
Yeah.
Or they just all wake up and find themselves contained in a cage. Yeah. No, I'm just saying out there somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a couple of ornery characters.
Yeah. Nice, good use of ornery. But just knowing that out there in the jungle somewhere is a real test for them.
Yeah.
Not a bush tucker
well
trial,
we've
literally
seen the film Predator.
Yeah, right.
And that had lots of drama.
Right.
Yeah. And lots of tension.
Yeah. Okay.
And some seriously quality reality TV that would make.
And at no point did Arnie say, now we have to face a bush tucker trial.
No.
No, he never said that.
He never said, what is this kangaroo testicle doing here?
Yeah, no, he never said that.
Neither
his friend who broke the razor blade on his head. What was he called?
I can't remember.
Ain't got time to bleed. One of my favourite characters. Neither did he say, ain't got time to do a bush tucker trial. Hell. I'm too busy shaving my ass. Anyway, the point is, Gaff, that would liven up I'm a Celebrity.
Yes, it would.
Never mind all these kangaroo testicles like you're saying.
Yeah.
But actually, they might get eaten.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button, because if you do, it'll be more like a sublime button. Because what you're going to get is... Okay. You'll get the 4 till 7 thing. Download it straight to your device. As soon as it drops on a Friday, yeah, it drops like a new... Like a sneaker at Supreme, or a collaboration with Louis Vuitton. Right. They're doing for a new duvet at Supreme.
Like a Yeezy for your ears.
Yeah, right. No, that's not Supreme, Gary.
Oh, isn't it?
No, Supreme wouldn't do a collaboration with Yeezy, because that's a collaboration with a collaboration.
Yeah, good point.
Kanye did a collaboration with Adidas for that.
Yeah, you can have too many collaborations.
Right.
Yeah.
Supreme, they probably do a collaboration with Kia. Okay, keep those reviews coming in on iTunes. We really appreciate it. I hope this year Supreme do a collaboration with Terry's All Gold.
That'd be great. Yeah.
For a Terry's All Red. It's like a strawberry chocolate thing. It'll be disgusting. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Get on with your lives. Radio X.